Welcome to the Grappling Grappling Rewind Podcast.
Welcome to this week on the Grappling Rewind Podcast. In this week's show, we're going to recap Fight to Win 119 in Philadelphia. We are going to recap the King of Mat, the lightweights for the Abu Dhabi Jiu-Jitsu Grand Pro Tour. And we are going to preview Fight to Win 120 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. As always on the show, I'm your host, Manger, with my co-host,
Emil.
How you doing, Emil?
I'm doing great, man. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah, man.
And this is a special Wednesday recording, or Tuesday recording. It's going to come out Wednesday because I was on vacation.
This is the first time. Think about that. In almost 100 episodes, we have consistently released on Tuesdays and sometimes in between as
except
well.
For like the first like 3 months when Christmas happened and it was on the same day we record. So yeah. Other than missing Christmas the first year and this episode coming out a day late, pretty good consistency.
That is pretty fucking good consistency. There are professional podcasts that can't release with that level of consistency. So
like you call us not professional because you know we're not.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, you're like, it's a dig. It's not a dig, Emil. That's the truth.
Props to you, man.
All right. So first of all, let's go into the news section. So they're trying to book, and it started right off with MMA for no reason because we don't cover MMA on the show at all. They're trying to book Ben Askren versus Damian Maia. That's a cool grappling match. I think Ben Askren just got domed into oblivion, so I feel like that's a little quick of a comeback for September.
I was about to say, that is a fucking aggressive comeback. That dude was, put into the shadow realm in record fucking time, so we'll see how that recovery time is.
So, in other news, Gordon Ryan has been announced for King of Mats, or King of the Mats, the promotion that we covered. They're doing a 16-man, looks like an open weight or a super heavyweight bracket, and he has been announced for it. We love covering King of Mats, so that's exciting. We usually don't do matchups in the news section. But I was on vacation, so I had some time to really crawl some stuff, and I got excited. And then Gordon Ryan and Felipe Pena have been bitching back and forth about weight, apparently, for their Third Coast grappling matchup.
Oh, my God.
And if you're interested in it, Gordon Ryan has gone into detail about, like, he forced him to meet at this weight, then he forced him to meet at this weight, and he's not going to concede these 5 pounds here now that he's the smaller guy. It's really interesting, and it's funny. And, again, it's a lot of the behind the scenes of making these sort of high-level matchups. These guys tend to get very particular about weight for certain guys. And other big ADCC news, Dylan Danis has moved up to under 99.
Holy shit.
He got the bid for 77. He had done 77 before. He's previously competed at 88, and now he's up at 99, which is...
That's a big fucking jump.
Huge. Because he's going to be significantly undersized, but he's training at Unity now, and he doesn't want to go into Marilla, which is what I read. So that makes more sense now. There's been a bunch of other ADC moves and replacements going on. I think we'll continue to see stuff.
Remind me, does ADCC put people in the same gyms early on so that there's no closeouts?
Yes, yeah. They in fact do. So yeah. The first round, typically always in the first round, in the first round or always by the second round, they put teammates. So it's a big deal in ADCC that if you don't want to fight your teammate, you change weight classes. So there's a lot of that going on right now as guys move gyms, move around, people drop in, drop out. I'm not sure who else. I think there's been some other changes recently so far in another notes sheet that I can't find right now. So Flow Grappling has a big article on the current movements. Right now, honestly, there's been a lot of stuff moving around, so I don't really want to talk about it too much because there's just been so much ADCC movement right now. By the time this comes out in 3 days, it'll already be kind of out of date for most of the other stuff, or it'll like have already changed. So if you're interested in it, there's an automatically updating article on Flow with like the current movement for who is where and some background information on why a lot of those guys have moved.
Yeah, so I have a big piece of news. I just found out about this today, actually. There's a new gym opening up in Baltimore, being opened by someone actually that Josh Weinstock knows quite well. This is Carlos Raba, who's a brown belt in Baltimore. He's opening a gym that is a nonprofit. It's going to offer classes for free to kids in jiu-jitsu, in yoga, in mixed martial arts, and they're going to have a sliding scale for adults as well, which I think is fucking awesome and is a really great way to give back to the community. I think jiu-jitsu is something that is awesome. I think everyone should be able to do it, and I think it's going to be opening it up to a lot of people that, you know, it's honestly become pretty expensive to do. It's an in-demand sport. It requires expertise. It requires instructors who have been doing this for a long time, who put in a lot of time. So it's great that this is being done. They're looking for support. So check them out. They are called Guardian Baltimore. That's Guardian Baltimore. And check them out. Support them however you want. They're a 501 501c. I'm sorry, I
that
can't
is correct.
Remember.
Yeah, 501c.
Yeah, so
standard. They're actually a real nonprofit as opposed to like not for profit. So it's a real. They've set up the paperwork to be a nonprofit. So that's awesome. I love to see the jiu-jitsu growing in, especially in our community in Baltimore. You know, so that's great to see. Support them if you can.
Yep.
In other news, our show has iHeartRadio issues. So apparently, it's not been updating since episode 79. Someone reached out to us and was like, "Hey, you know your show is like having issues with the RSS feed on this platform." And I was like, I did not know that. Also, the show still has the old graphic from episode 1 and 2 up. That is the one platform that never got the updated graphic. Apparently, I was like, what is that? Oh my God, that's the old fucking Photoshop graphic I made of just the black tape before we had someone make us an actual logo. So we're in the process of updating all that. I apologize if you've been on our Heart Radio. We're getting that sorted out. Hopefully in the next 2 weeks is what they told us. In other news, looks like Kurt Oseander is going into rehab for alcoholism. So he's in the process of that right now. Big name in jiu-jitsu, been at House, made his own place in the San Francisco area, been a real staple of that locale for a long time. So best of luck for him. Keep tagging us in matchups and stuff. If you see a cool-ass matchup on Instagram or something like that, tag us in that. We appreciate it. I've been on vacation, so I've been able to go through a lot more of those recently. It's been really cool. Like, oh, this is a good matchup. I'm super excited about this. People have tagged us and stuff recently, and it's been really cool to do that. So keep doing that. If you're not following us on YouTube, Grappling Rewind, I'm going to start putting out some more content over there as well, some kind of supplemental content to go with the podcast. So if you're looking for some of that, it's going to be a lot of like nitty-gritty and behind-the-scenes stuff about like what we do here at the Grappling Rewind and like super fight stuff. If you're interested in super fights, just some more information like that. So I think that's all the stuff I got. You know, just share the show with your friends, all that good stuff. You want to move into the recaps, Emil?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. So one more recap, a fight to win 119 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This event paid out a total of $43,714 in salaries and commissions and was the highest payout of 2019. And I was super upset that I couldn't go there because I was on vacation.
Yeah, the Philly cars, Maine and I have actually been to. Maine's been to a few times.
Three or four of them,
it's
honestly.
It's fucking awesome. It's a great venue. It's a great energy. And it's awesome to see these payouts keep going up,
dude,
and up.
Also, Philly, the 4300 Arena, where they do 2300 Arena, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2300 Arena is actually a relatively small
place,
too.
I was about to
say,
this
is always sold out, so it's really cool to see them being able to pay out that much on a smaller. It looked like the configuration of the venue was a little different this time, but I don't know because I wasn't there. I'm still super sad about that.
It's okay. You had vacation. You were allowed to take vacation, man.
Yeah. So, dude, super awesome to see a payout that high, especially hitting highest of 2019 right in our backyard. And, dude, there's some really, really good matchups on this card. Where do you want to start? Main event?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, JT Torres defeats Wagner Hosha via decision and becomes the fight to win black belt welterweight no-gi champion. How do you want to break this one down?
Yeah, I mean, where it started was I counted 3 minutes and 45 of standing and, like, collar tie snap downs, kind of like shots from far out. And then JT's like, nah, we're gonna fucking
it was honestly
do this.
A little like it was a little slower at the beginning than I anticipated. Like I could have definitely seen this match starting out exactly like this, given both guys was kind of a feeling out process. These guys apparently were supposed to meet each other in 2010 in ADCC. Apparently
in 2010, like 9 years ago.
I think so. I read somewhere on Instagram this story, so if this is completely wrong, and apparently JT's ear swelled up super bad, and like he couldn't continue or something.
Huh. All right.
Yeah, I saw it on like Ricardo Amendola's Instagram.
Okay.
There was a big story on it. It's kind of cool. Watch me parrot incorrect information or a joke or something like that. But super happy to see the matchup. So these guys kind of feel each other out for a big piece of time. And then, like you said, JT hits like a really, really good single leg.
Yeah, it's an awesome single. He basically gets amazing penetration and he's completely up against Wagner. And he can't secure the single entirely. And he just readjusts on the fly immediately and taps the far knee and basically gets Hosha down for the takedown.
Yeah, it looked kind of like Wagner was trying to run out, not run out of it, but like trying to sag him down a little bit. And Torres is able to make a really good adjustment. I was really impressed here at how well Torres got in on the hips. Like most jiu-jitsu guys, you see that kind of like lagging shot where they kind of like drop in slow. Torres was like in. He closed the distance as he shot, came in, got low on the leg. Like really, really impressive. Super fast movement. And you saw Wagner kind of just not be able to get away from it in time. Because we see guys shoot on Wagner all the time, and he's usually able to get away, but JT was able to get right in on his leg super well.
Absolutely. So, and once JT gets control, he does not fucking let go. I mean, like, he just, at this point, just smothers Wagner. Wagner is attempting, you know, like kind of like triangle shots, but mostly has to maintain guard for a long time in order to just kind of keep JT at bay. And
I was really, really kind of surprised about that. Like, I know, we know how good JT is, but with how like dominant we've seen Wagner and how much he forces the scrambles and like what he's able to do, I was really like surprised he was like, he slowed the match down. You're like, oh snap, he is actively slowing Torres down here.
Right.
And that's like a strategy, because you can see that Torres has like a different level of explosiveness that that Wagner's definitely trying to kind of quell a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and JT just has, again, he's has dominant control. And so at some point he gets a head and arm grip, and it's sort of like a loose arm triangle on Wagner, and he's just visibly cranking it. And Wagner, you know, at that point has half guard, has to give up mount. And JT starts swinging around into side control. And I thought he was going to rip Wagner's head off at this point. But Wagner's able to kind of like roll out of it. And JT takes the back nearly very, very, very close. And Wagner initiates the scramble and he gets out at this point. But
I was really, really impressed. Like Wagner's like ability to see the back take coming. Kind of JT kind of gets to the back, and Wagner's able to continue with that kind of shoulder roll and shuck to turn the angle out and just not let JT continue to kind of hold the back all the way.
So even though Wagner escapes at this point, that triangle, that arm triangle, was such a threat that I think that was the deciding factor.
Yeah, and the last minute is kind of like that stand-up game. It really looked very similar to the first 3 minutes of the match, that kind of stand-up game back and forth, but nobody really like getting much going. But it was really the passing sequence from JT, the arm triangle that he held for a really long time. Yeah. And I love Wagner, because the entire time, Wagner's just like
slamming the throat. Yeah.
Slamming the throat, pushing his face. And like, Wagner, you're on the bottom now. Maybe you should do something else. Wagner's like, nah, I'm gonna make it shitty for him.
Yeah.
And but like JT knows that he can't like jump on Wagner's arm in those positions, because Wagner's gonna scramble out. And so it was really interesting of like JT having the patience and the gamesmanship to not just shoot for that arm when Wagner was fucking with his face.
Yep.
And like continue to just maintain his game plan, maintain the pressure, keep there, and just like work out the decision.
Yeah.
Really good match. Really would not be surprising if we saw both these guys again. I think they're in the same weight class at ADCC. Would not surprise me. I think they're both under 77. Wouldn't surprise me if these guys were to go at it again.
Yep.
I'd be happy to see it. Let's go to the next match. Tim Spriggs defeats Tex Johnson via decision. Dude, vacation has got my voice all messed up. I'm stumbling over words all day. It's been a...
Oh, because you don't do that regularly?
I do, man. Dude, that drive killed me.
Yeah.
Like, it was a... We drove back. It was like a 10-hour and 10-minute drive back.
Fuck, dude.
And I went to work this morning for like a big meeting.
I can't do that shit.
And dude, my body... I trained, though. I started training again.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, my back's not healed yet, but like...
Hey, back on the mats, dude.
Yeah,
that's
I did no-gi with my old gym up in Maine, and it was awesome. Shout-outs to Matt from the team here. Got a chance to train with him. I haven't trained with him in a little bit. He's a 3-stripe brown belt. I was like, oh, you're creeping up on it. He goes, shut up.
No jinxing, man. All right, yeah. So back to Tim Spriggs defeating Tex Johnson by decision. We had a lot of seated open guard from Tex. We've been seeing that a lot. I mean, we never know which Tex we're going to get, because he definitely likes to switch it up as to whether or not he's going to be passing. But we've seen him be very, very deft from the guard. We saw that in this match, lots of inversions.
He's super hard to get past.
Yeah, Tim
Spriggs.
Because
as a big dude, he can invert well enough and pummel his legs back through, and he's like... You can tell he's strong enough that even if you kind of like are able to crush his legs in together, he can like force you out, and he just can't let even a guy like Spriggs, who's a really aggressive, active side to side passer, Spriggs just couldn't even get anything going either.
Absolutely. So yeah, it was really awesome.
Was a little bit of a slower match.
Yeah,
at a lot of points. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I was specifically referring to Texas. Like, it's awesome to watch him like play guard, because like we had this whole like back and forth a few months ago about bigger players, like, you know, having a kind of straight up and down pressure passing, so like game. So it was cool to see. It's always awesome to see someone do that at this weight class. But Tim Spriggs clearly was not comfortable in passing. He kept circling, trying to pass, but there was
didn't want to get his shit broken. Like, didn't want to get his leg, because Tex is so, he
right.
gets from that guard to that inversion on your leg so quickly.
Yep.
And then he just like rips your foot off.
Yeah, and then you're in danger. But like in this particular match, I would say the criteria for victory was really unclear. Like, I wouldn't know how to make this decision.
Yeah, and Texas was really upset with the decision. Tim gets a straight-up decision, and it was really just, like, activity and intent, I think, is what gets it for him. Yep. You know, it was a close match. It's very difficult to score.
Yep.
And, yeah.
That's it.
Gets the decision. Next match, we had Roddy Bryson Barrett defeating Jay Cox via choke.
We have Mike Padilla defeating Dom Hoskins by heel hook.
Dude, I love watching both these guys. Like, Dom is one of them, again, right up there with Troy with the most fight-to-win experiences of all time, or competitions of all time. Troy's also on this card. And Padilla is low-key really, really good.
Yep.
He has a really cool game, and at some points, Dom's goes to, like, sweep him over, and he just is in on the legs, in on the knee bars, in the leg locks, and, like, he's got, at one point, Padilla goes for a go-go plata. And he rolls through. Eventually, he's able to just, you know, get the heel hook. The angle on the camera wasn't too great, so I really couldn't see it. But both these dudes are guys I really enjoy watching. Tom, because he's just so active and really will fight anyone. And then Padilla, because he's just, like, he shows up and he's really freaking hard to beat.
Yep.
And it's impressive. So he gets it done here with a heel hook.
And we have Jonathan Webb defeating Ty Murphy via heel hook. We have Chris Noonan defeating Pookie Kim via choke. Garrett Lavaggi defeats Will Martinez by split decision.
And that was fight of the night for the black belt.
So this was, there's a lot of explosive movements in this match. There's sweeps back and forth. There's none of the long pauses where people are kind of like catching their breath or anything like that. So Lavaggi hits an early arm and guillotine, gets near sweeps, but Martinez establishes control and pressures from top half. Then Lavaggi sweeps. So there's this great, like, back and forth, basically, you know, that and you know, Lavaggi's able to establish his own pressure, also able to get, like, a snap down standing guillotine. And there's an amazing double underpass sequence in here where Lavaggi basically lifts Martinez completely off the mat, like, totally explosive, throws him over. And takes the back all in a single sequence.
The back take was pretty slick. Yeah, like, my notes, it's like, back take, very slick.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, you didn't see it coming at all. So, yeah. Really,
and
really great.
You know what's fight of the night and a split decision, that it was a really, really close back and forth match. And, dude, the crowd, you could hear the crowd on the mics there. It got wild.
Absolutely.
So, next match, we got Tyler King versus Troy Everett. Ty takes that via rear naked choke. Troy took this match on very, very short notice.
Yeah. Also, this match was like, they were twins, man. It's battle of the twins. Like, they looked identical.
Except Tyler was about 35 pounds bigger than Troy. And the commentator was like, yeah, Troy's pretty big. And Troy posted later, he's like, I wish I was that big, as big as the commentators were saying. I think he's like not even quite 200 pounds.
Yeah. So I got to say that for a big guy, Tyler also moves really well. So he basically takes the back from really, really well-timed back take off of a bridge from Troy while Troy was in bottom side.
Yeah.
And then he just, you know,
I was really impressed
with naked choke.
With the way that Tyler, like, I like the way when you get bigger guys that really know how to use, like, a good pressure game. Not like a big guy pressure game, but, like, legitimately use their weight well. And you could tell that because Troy was a smaller guy and, like, being more active, that Tyler was, like, really keeping his chest on Troy's chest and stopping, like, the come out the back and all the turnovers in order to really keep Troy flattened there. It was really good. And you saw Troy, like, touching his face after the rear naked choke, because Tyler just, like, went across the jaw, across the face to get the rear naked choke.
Absolutely.
Really, really fun match. Props to Troy for stepping up on super short notice. I think he's done that. I think this will be the second or third time, if I do in history, that Troy has had to, like, oh, here we go. I know Seth's done it before. I think one or two other people on Team No Sleep have also stepped up on super short notice. And
yep.
This is just the next in a series of, I assume, will be many more short notice bouts that Troy
this
takes.
Was Troy's 21st match for
20
fight.
I think Dom's at 20
yeah,
now or something funny. They're right neck and neck with most fight to win experiences. It's just crazy, dude. He walked out to it, I'm a genie in a bottle too, which always makes me laugh. Troy picks the most, like, early 90s, like 2000s, like, that was that 96 97 or something like that.
I can't remember.
Britney Spears songs to walk out. I just, like, cannot take him seriously every time he walks out. I'm just like, Jesus, Troy. So next match, we have William Woke defeating Scott Dance via decision.
Nikki Sullivan defeating Sarah Block by decision.
Dude, Sullivan is gummy. And, like, that's the only way to put it. Like, she's a, like, a longer, lankier player, plays a lot of guard, but she can just completely fold herself in half. And, like, I have to imagine that is an absolute nightmare to pass.
There is nothing more frustrating than a composed, flexible, dexterous individual who's completely comfortable from guard. Like, you pass, you fight, you, like, exert 110% of your energy just trying to get past. You get past for that split second, and then they're like,
I want the guard again.
Yeah.
And then, but dude, I was watching Block here, Sarah Block in this match, like trying to pressure pass, and you watch Sullivan just like fold in half, and it was just like, yo, I'm passed. Like my hands are where they should be. Like my hips are there. Your rest of your body is still in the way. Like I didn't get past anything. I love watching Nikki Sullivan for that reason, because she is one of the more like interesting body types to watch, and these are why I love covering the women's matches, because it's like it's stuff that I physically can't do. Like the hip mobility and just the ability to completely fold over like that. And she's super active on the leg locks, like going for repeated toe holds and knee bars, and like she was deep numerous times. The commentary called out that she had a reap at one point, and I was trying to figure out, because it was a super weird angle to have a reap from. All in all, really good match. This is one of the matches I enjoyed kind of the most on the card. It was super impressive of Nikki Sullivan, and she wins a decision.
Yeah.
So next match, we have Dennis Presley Jr. defeating Aaron Morris via decision. I think this is Dennis's first black belt match. We've covered him before. He was the previous champion, almost double champion at 145 for brown belt for Fight to Win. And dude looks good. They spent a lot of this match in that double, I don't know what you call that, that double crab ride position, where it's like they're both guys are trying to take each other's back in that rolling position. You see the Meows do it a lot, where it's like, I'm trying to take your back, but you're also trying to take my back. There's a lot of that, really good lapel work, and Press is able to get it via decision. Next match.
We have Stephen Plyler defeating Andrew Cockle. So there was lots of collar sleeve guard from Cockle here. And we've covered Andrew a ton. You know, we had him
through his brown belt career into his black belt career at this point.
Most recently at SAGC. In this case, this was the first gi match of Andrew's that I've seen. And, you know, he had a really, really good competition here.
I feel like I've seen him in the gi before. I can't recall. Most of the stuff we covered him as no-gi before.
Yeah, no-gi.
But Piler's no joke. Like, I think we've covered Piler a bunch of times before. So,
yep.
Really back and forth, both matches, both guys, subs, transitions from both players.
Yep.
Like, exciting matchup, tough matchup for Cockle's first black belt gi match.
Yeah.
And Steven's able to get it done.
Yeah,
wins absolutely. A decision over Cockle.
Yep.
So, want to go into the judo results now?
Let's get into
let's
the
move
judo,
move into
man.
The black belt judo results.
So we have Adam Moyerman defeating Arthur Parshin by choke.
And that was submission of the night for the judo matches, because this is the only judo match on the card.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is there's no submission of the night for the BJJ black belts. So I think what they're doing with the judo is they're lumping the judo black belts in with the jiu-jitsu black belts. If there's only one, you know, I've seen it before. If they have five judo matches, they'll do separate fight of the night.
Right, for the black belt judo versus the black belt jiu-jitsu.
But in this case, it looks like it was lumped in. And honestly, this was submission of the night for all black belts.
Dude, it was so
amazing
so cool.
Sequence. You got to go back and watch this.
So I was on vacation. I didn't get to see it live, but I was on Instagram and I watched it. I was like, oh, that was a slick ass choke.
So Adam basically hits a foot sweep while maintaining the collar grip. And as Arthur is hitting the ground, keeps the grip and ends up in a sort of like belly down bow and arrow type position with Arthur turtled, and Adam just slides his shin behind Arthur's head for just like the most brutal fucking finish.
He's like tripoded up too.
Yeah.
It's like he's not like belly down, he's like up, and you can see he has the grip, and Arthur is having to like maintain his posture and weight while Adam is just falling off to the side with the choke, pulling it.
Getting the shin behind the head is brutal because, you know, bow and arrow.
Dude, judokas are so good at that. For that armbar they do off the top, from the turtle. Yeah. They do that armbar in transition off the turtle, and they kick you in the back of the head with their shin as they do it.
The armbar, I don't, you know, the shin behind the head with the armbar is, you know, armbars suck, but like, they suck to be in, but this particular choke finish is just excruciating because bow and arrows come on quick regardless. And if you then add your ability to stomp out with your shin against you pulling across
and
the neck.
It's all your body weight because you're hanging on the neck for the choke for your support of your hand.
It is just like instant.
It looked like a terrible choke.
It just looked terrible. And you know, it definitely looked like Arthur was a little dazed afterwards.
I like how you used terrible as like it was amazing and awesome.
Oh, yeah,
watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
it was
yeah,
terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely go watch this joke. It was there's a highlight up on Instagram. Go back and watch the whole match, honestly. There's some really good back and forth even before that, and it just Adam's able to get it done with that beautiful What do you want to call it? Like,
it's a foot sweep.
Bow and arrow.
I think it's a bow and arrow.
It's like a bow and arrow from the back with the foot. It's like the Hitman style bow and arrow. I think it's just a bow and arrow. Head. All right, bow and arrow. Boring ass a meal choke over here.
Whatever.
On to the brown belt results. We have Elias Karadag. Ellis Karadag. Not like I know the guy and like talk to him infrequently. defeating Kyle Hung via knee bar, and that was submission of the night.
It was not knee bar, it was triangle.
Yep. It's listed as knee bar in the results. Yep. And I was like, I don't think that's a knee bar, that's a triangle.
Yeah.
And they do their huge back and forth throughout the match with the leg work, like really active leg entanglements from both guys.
Dude, just slams. It was high energy, scrambly 50-50 with knee bar attempts, back take attempts.
We had like
diving
had
pass attempts.
Active 50-50 here, which I like. Like both guys are actively going for stuff and not looking to like just sit in the position and like work ads. Like they're both going for submission. And then at one point at the end of the match, they kind of reset and Kyle kind of sits up and Ellis shoots this beautiful triangle. He's able to lock it in, cut the angle, and then he kind of screws with the other arm, with the outside arm, to go for like almost like it's gonna go omoplata, but changes it back over and just locks it up. Hung does a really good job trying to step over for the defense, but Ellis just kind of holds it and waits, pulls. He taps, he like looks at the ref and lets go.
Yep.
And it was just a really, really good, really, really composed match from both guys. Deservedly submission of the night. Beautiful, like, kind of adjustments that you saw they made on the triangle.
Yep.
Really, really happy to watch that match. Had a lot of fun. Anything else on that one?
No, it was great.
Let's keep going.
We got Tim Rocco defeating Chris White via decision. Abby Passanelli defeating Jillian Davis by split decision. Jack Tankersley defeating Jeremy Hastings by decision.
And Jack retains the fight to win welterweight title at the brown belt level.
Brian Sheehan defeats James Hardiman by decision. Jose Matias defeats Robbie De La Rionda by decision. Kevin Lynch defeats John Naples by decision. Kyle Hughes defeats Sean Karn via decision. Dominic Tabita defeats Paul Sims by decision. Nicholas Wiley defeats Des McDonald by decision.
On to the purple belt results.
Nate Twer defeats Nick Burgle by triangle.
And he becomes the fight to win purple belt no-gi lightweight champion.
Will Schluchter defeats Billy Conway by baseball bat choke.
And that was submission of the night for the purple belts.
Eric Naples defeats James Brooks via straight ankle lock.
I don't know why I tried to get in your way there. You're doing great. Okay. I would just fuck this up.
AJ Dasani defeats Noah Barth by knee bar. Daniela Osio defeats Gabby Etzel via choke. Rachel Schoenwolf defeats Yara Helmy by Ezekiel choke. Joanna Wood defeats Jess Feliciano via split decision.
And that was Friday night for the purple belts. It's Jonna Wood, not Joanna.
Thank you.
Yep.
Steven Ramos defeats Nicholas Massini via heel hook. Eve Isaacs defeats Rebecca Heiss via triangle. John Lyons defeats George Strunk by decision. Jaden Mueller defeats Aaron Orange via decision. Bob Posen defeats Anthony Fregali by decision.
On to the teens and kid results.
Coco Blackwell defeats Lena Martinez via decision.
And that was Friday night for the kids and teens.
And Michael Gillen defeats Jonah Gratt via ankle lock.
And that does it for the results for Fight to Win. It's really cool to see a bunch of guys that we've just like done commentary for on SAGC on this card. I'm like, oh, I recognize that guy. It's really cool. Like, it's realize how small the Super Fight community is.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, snap. Like, a lot of these guys are active Super Fight competitors, and I'm probably going to continue to see them for years to come on a lot of these events. This is a lot of fun. Go back and watch it. All the matches are up, and they're all, like, parsed out and pieced out. So if there's little pieces you want to watch, I highly recommend going back and watch it.
Yep.
So on to a recap of the Abu Dhabi Jiu-Jitsu Pro Tour, AJP Jiu-Jitsu Pro Tour. And I'm not really sure what they're calling this one anymore. The King of Mats, that was for the Tokyo Grand Slam. It was the lightweights. Isaac Dodolin looks really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Really dominant, basically cruises through. And just as a quick reminder for everyone, the format for this is basically they have two mini round robins with the top two people from each group progressing into the semifinals to face off for a mini bracket after that.
And so the whole thing is up on YouTube. It's, I think it's about seven hours and like 5 minutes long. I did not get a chance to watch all of it. I'm reading through the results here. I've looked at some of the highlights for Dodolin. He looks really good, hence the kind of lead into this segment of the show. If you want to find the full results, it's at AJP world agptour.com/en/federation/1/news/156. They have a pretty nice breakdown of the actual event, and there's individual matches being uploaded right now on some various YouTube pages. Highly recommend, if you have a chance, go back and watch some of them, because you can just see, like, Dodolin looks really good in this format. We've seen him look better and better in the UAE JJF format.
Dude, he's absolutely been on the cusp of, you know, lightweight. Like, he is really... There were matches where, you know, honestly, it could have gone either way between him and Miao. And, like,
yeah,
you know...
He was finally getting it done. He's finally able to beat him, I think, once or twice at this point. He's finally kind of cracked that corner. And, like, we've seen continuing development in his game overall. And as it's cool to see, like, an American, because we're American, it's cool to see an American, like, finally be able to kind of crack that upper echelon in one of the lower weight class divisions that's not Musumeci.
Right. Absolutely. So, really awesome to see him... dominating like this. So in terms of the semifinals, we had Isaac Dodolin defeating Kleber Fernandez, and on the other side we had Gabriel Souza defeating Diego Oliveira. And then in the finals matches, obviously Isaac Dodolin wins over Gabriel Souza.
Dude, that was a good match too.
Yeah, so this match is on YouTube, and it is fucking awesome. Like, you can see how quickly Isaac Dodolin accelerates. He will go from smooth movements to already swept you in, like, split seconds.
A beautiful, like, stand-up sweep from, like, a single leg on Joao.
It's
beautiful.
Gabriel.
Work.
Yeah. It is fucking incredible. And
We're changing up names here.
Yeah, right. Absolutely incredible. Isaac is looking incredible. This whole match is very explosive. It's pretty short.
It's like 3 minutes or something like that.
And
it's under 3 minutes.
There's an amazing sweep that Isaac hits, as Main said, is a stand up sweep. And then, Joao Gabriel hits his own, counter sweep into mount, which was incredible.
But he doesn't get the mount points.
Yeah, he doesn't get the mount points.
Which I thought was cool because, Dodolin's able to see it. And he throws his legs up in that, like double goat, not double goat hook, but what's the, you throw your legs in front of the person when they're in mount.
Right.
Yeah, it's that. So obviously he gets, so Gabriel gets the sweep, but doesn't get the points for it. And then
he's able to break, draw Gabriel's legs open and get into a straight ankle attack that looked absolutely excruciating. In fact, you just hear Joao Gabriel screaming at the end
for the tap, like, "I got,
yeah."
And it's not like, "Oh, you got it." It's like, "Oh, this fucking hurts really bad."
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and you could see he was trying to fight it for a long time.
They were in the position probably for almost half the match, minute and a half. It wouldn't surprise me if it was that long. Again, find the match on YouTube. It's awesome. I expect more big things from Dodolin. I think it's Dodolin. I think it's not Dodolin.
Oh, is it?
I think it's Dodolin.
Okay.
I expect more big things from him. He's looked good. He's only looked better and better and better. I think this is his second King of Mats win, I think. And to get into the King of Mats in the first place, you have to win a Grand Slam event for UAE JJF anyway. Other news on the UAE. Is there anything else on this?
No.
It's good. Isaac looks good. Go back and watch the match in the finals between Joao Gabriel Souza and Isaac Dodolin. It's 3 minutes. It's on YouTube. It's a really, really good gi match. The Grand Slam in Tokyo, we saw Kennedy look really good, too.
Yeah, he won. Cabrinha posted an awesome kind of congratulations to him. Again, Cabrinha is his dad, which is just fucking hilarious. Really, really, I'm glad to see him also accelerating in his competition at Black Belt.
Yep. Also, I think Wardzinski won his division. I think Jackson Souza also might have won his division. It's really cool. The whole videos are up on there. I'm going to try to start parsing through some of them as the week goes on. Usually people start, you know, 3 or 4 days later, kicking individual matches out. So it happened on Saturday and Sunday. So you should see some more matches pop up on YouTube in the next couple of days. There are some really, really good matches to watch. Usually some pretty major people and players will show up to the Grand Slam events for UAE JJF. And so there's a lot of fun jiu-jitsu that's free to watch on YouTube right now. Anything else, Emil?
That's it.
All right. All right, so let's move into the preview section. Where do you want to start, Emil?
Do you want to start with this mysterious new competition coming up?
Yeah, I can't pronounce the name. What do you say?
Shugyo Invitational.
So the Shugyo Invitational is coming up. It popped up like this week out of nowhere. There was just a promo posted, and it looks like the event's already been filmed, and it's going to come out. Like, the first episode comes out in like early August. I'm actually going to talk to the Shutterman a little later in the week here to see, find out more information. So next week.
So they have some videos up on Instagram.
Yeah, I should have some more information for everyone.
That's Shugyo Invitational.
_Invitational. This features Jordan Holy, Keith Kukorian, Nathan Orchard, Ethan Krellenstein, a bunch of other people. Max, it's a really, really cool tournament. It's a no time limit. 13 matches, 13 submissions. I have no idea anything else about it, but with those names, and no one is telling me anything about it right now. I've asked a couple guys that are on it, and they've gone like, yeah, I can't tell you anything yet. So I'm hopefully going to find out more information. Follow it on Instagram. Look at it. It looks like a great event. $5,000 cash prize to the winner. It's got me hyped.
Really hype video, too.
Like, yeah, and it's good. It looks like it's produced really well. Like, yeah. I watched the guys walk out in the video, and I was like, wait, how'd they get that shot? I was like, has this already happened? And the second video came out, and there was all these weigh-in photos. I was like, oh, this is a behind-closed-door event. They're going to release in episodes or something, or at least a big, event or something like that. But it looks cool. Go and find it and watch it, because I'm excited about it.
You know, that's an interesting business model now that I think about it. I'll have to think about that more, but that might actually make sense for jiu-jitsu a lot, because, you know, if you have – you can basically – really produce the hell out of these promo videos,
right?
And things like that.
You're not trying to run like a stream that has a choppy quality. You can like really shoot it well and edit. I don't know. It's got me hype. Like, it looks cool. Yeah. We just saw the one out of Korea, Sub Royal, do a really similar thing. Whereas like, they ran this really cool, no time limit, you know, submission only thing. They ran it in episodes, and I was like, oh, that doesn't really like harm the product.
I was about to say,
as a viewer, like,
I don't necessarily need to stream it live. You know, like, no. that's not how.
Especially with us, because like we cover so many events, it's like a lot of times I can't sit. There's three events happening at the same time. Like, I can't watch three and take notes at the same time, so I watch stuff on delay anyway. So if I get a better produced product on delay, like, it doesn't affect my enjoyment of it at all. Like,
exactly.
I still want to see a bunch of those matchups. Like, I want to see Holy and Krellenstein and Holy and Kukorian and Kukorian and Holy and Kukorian and Krellenstein. That rematch from ADCC East Coast Trials. Like, it is a super exciting event. And so that's all I got for that. There's literally no news, but it's a preview because it's coming out soon, sometime in August. Let's move on to our preview of Fight to Win 120 happening on August 3rd. This event takes place in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I might go to this one.
Sweet.
It's like a 5-hour drive, and I've already driven across the country, like, back and forth this weekend. So I don't know yet, but I'll find out soon. This one is main evented by a black belt Nogi middleweight title. Edwin Najmi taking on DJ Jackson.
That's such a crazy, like,
a really strange matchup.
Right? Like, I just...
It's a good matchup, but it's like one of those matchups like, huh. Like,
I didn't realize they were in the same weight class, you know, like.
Dude, Jackson's getting low.
Yeah.
Like, Jackson did not sit at 165 for the last like couple years.
Right.
Like, that dude was up at 185, 190.
Yeah,
and, like,
exactly.
Because he got the bid at, I think, I want to say 77 or something for ADCC.
So he's
cutting down. He's taking all these lower weight classes, which is really cool, because you actually see like a lot more of his kind of dynamic ability when it's at a higher weight class as a smaller guy.
Yeah,
like, he was a lot more pressure focused. Like, we're seeing a lot from him. This should be a really fun matchup. I really don't know how to call this. Like, I feel like it'll be a DJ Jackson matchup where he gets on your legs. Najmi's going to aggressively kind of stop the passing attempts, shoot for stuff from the bottom. But it'd be really interesting to see if Jackson, with the increased speed, can get around the guard of Najmi.
Yeah, exactly.
So, co-main event.
We have Catherine Perrette versus Tubby Alquin.
This is a female black belt bantamweight Nogi title. This should be a lot of fun. Both these women come, bring a pace, and it would be interesting to see if Tubby's actually on commentary at points, because usually she pops on, occasionally does commentary. I really enjoy her as a commentator, so it wouldn't surprise me. That's a really good coming event, actually. We have a 280-pound black belt gi match.
Dave Margella versus James Dillon.
We have a 220-pound black belt gi bout.
Louis Armazani versus Kenneth Brown.
We have a 205-pound black belt gi bout.
Robert Henriksen versus Brad Pearson.
We have a 180-pound black belt no gi bout.
Evan Mulgrave versus Keith Miner.
Oh, shit. I believe Keith Miner has one hand.
Oh, okay.
And he has a dope-ass guillotine. One hand, one leg. I think he's an amputee, and he has a dope-ass guillotine. If I think this is the correct Keith Miner that I'm thinking of. We covered him really early on the show, and it was one of, like, my highlight matches of, like, the beginning of the show was like watching him grapple and like watching what he's able to do. Not a match to miss. 165-pound black belt no-gi bout.
Isaac Greeley versus Mike Easton.
150-pound black belt no-gi bout.
Dominic Marzada versus Ruben Vera.
145-pound no-gi bout.
Rob Heilman versus Dan Dykeman.
Dude, Dan Dykeman's a lot of fun to watch. He always brings it. We saw him recently versus Krikorian. We saw him on the Maryland card versus Malachi. Like, he's a fun dude. He's the first thing he always does is, like, jumping flying scissor you or, like, jumping triangle you. He just, like, jumps at you. So this looks like a really fun card. There's also some black belt judo matches on the card. We have a 205-pound black belt judo match.
Tim Milinak versus Vernon Kirk.
I think we've seen Vernon a couple times now at this point. 175-pound black belt judo match.
Edward Harris versus Adam Moyerman.
We saw Adam this weekend, I think. 160-pound black belt gi bout.
Nick Brown versus Josh Pike.
135-pound brown belt title match.
Sheena Staley versus Jenny LaFaro.
And that is in the gi. The rest of the matches are up as well. You can find them on Flow Grappling. Emil Fisher's also on this card. Who else? Anyone else that we know? Yeah, a bunch of guys we know. So looks like a lot of fun. Should be a great event. Happens on August 3rd. Definitely, if you are in the area, highly recommend you go get tickets. Do not do what I did this weekend and miss out because you will be sad. So that is it for this week on the show. You're out next week, Emil?
Yeah, I'm out next week.
Okay, I will be here. I'm happy as shit. I'm starting to train again. I trained like 2 days last week, and I trained like a little harder on when I was up in Maine, seeing like my old gym and coach and stuff like that. And I was like, my back was like, this hurt a little bit, but not that bad.
Yeah, how'd you feel afterwards?
I was definitely a little sore. Like I had not trained with some of those guys in honestly closer to 2 years. So I went like I moved a little more than I probably should have. And I was in a little pain after. But like the next day it was like, but that was also after driving like 13 hours
to get up to go from
Baltimore to Maine or to like Bangor, Maine.
Right.
Like it's a really, really long drive. And so it's like, then I got out of the car and like trained and then like drove back an hour and a half to Rachel's dad's house to like sleep. And it was like, you know, my body was like, okay. So honestly, it wasn't bad though. So I'm super excited. I'm actually go training tonight and like, you know, get back in the groove and like, I think I might be back. I definitely got to take it easy, like, for a while until I'm fully healed because I'm still in, like, some pain in my ass and leg. But, like, I'm super happy. I'm, like, I'm having a really good week on vacation. We're back. We're doing the podcast. I can train again. Like, it's a good time to be me.
Hell yeah.
So, other than that, anything else going on with you this week?
Nah, man. I'm heading out to Michigan for some vacation of my own.
I was like, for work or vacation?
Nah, vacation.
That's awesome. Wait, what's in Michigan?
Actually, like, fucking really dope, like, spots up by the lake, place called Traverse City, which
I'm gonna ask you one question. Lake Michigan?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you're going to like Lake Michigan or like some other place in Michigan.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be fucking awesome. It's gonna be
like one of the Great Lakes?
Yeah.
It should be awesome. I've actually never been up there. I've always kind of wanted to go up there. Rachel and I keep trying to plan a trip to Niagara, which is again not really located over there, but like similar up north. So sweet, man, that's awesome. Are you back the week following?
Yeah.
Sweet. I love how you, like, in the show, you hear, like, us planning, like, who's on the next week? Who's on the following week? So, that's awesome, man. Hey, enjoy your vacation. I just enjoyed my vacation. And, that's it. I am Maine with the Grappling Rewind.
I'm Emil with the Grappling Rewind.
And we will see you on the mats. If you like the show, please consider sharing it on Facebook with the folks at your gym. It's the best way that we grow the show, and we really appreciate it. You can reach out to us on email.
We also have Instagram. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have Google Plus.
Until that shuts down.
We have a website.
If you have an event you would like to have us cover, please let us know. If you have a name, like most people do, and you'd like to have us stop butchering it,
let us know.
Reach out to us. The show is also available on YouTube, Spotify, in addition to iTunes and every other podcast service. We very much appreciate your time, and thank you.